This is James chapter 4, verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. It is not a judge the law, not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judges another? God will bless us the reading of his precious word, and how it has gone before. I want you to notice, please, in verse 11, the danger of speaking evil of the law, and also of judging the law, and also of not being a doer of the law. And yet we know, by the deeds of the law, shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God. But you know, there's that danger in us of speaking evil of the law. And yet, in God's sight, the law is holy, and it's just, and it's good. If it's of God and from God, let's not speak evil of the law. On the other hand, let's not judge the law. Let's not be a judge of the law as though God's law wasn't just, as though God's law wasn't sufficient, as though that it needed to be replaced by now, and that I have a better idea of the law, and I'm coming up with the law now, and I'm judging God's law as being wrong. Therefore, I'm going to give another law. Is that danger, friends? But you know, in spite of all this, by the deeds of the law, shall no flesh be justified in his sight. And you know it says here as well, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Is that danger that someone might be with us today? And they've been depending on the works of the law to establish them before God, to bring them into a right relationship with God. We want to remind you today from the Word of God that by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. We want you to know that sin is a transgression of the law. And the Bible says that there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In this meeting tonight, don't be mistaken. God has given a law. You and I have sinned and come short of the law. Therefore, I'm not only a sinner in the sight of God, but I'm guilty before God, for I've spurned his grace and I broke his law. Oh, in this gathering tonight, there is no safety and no shelter in the law of God. Now, sin being a transgression of the law. In chapter 2 of James, verse 11, James says that if you keep the whole law and offend in one point, you're guilty of all. And you know, there's that thing he says, you don't commit adultery, but you kill. Or you don't kill, but you steal. Well, you know, if you break one law, you're guilty of all. You go to the penitentiary and visit the inmate, and you'll find that most of them are there because of one offense. Oh, they can plead they don't drink, and they don't steal, and they can plead that they have a driver's license, and they never speed, and all the rest. And then after they've pleaded all the good things about them, and not a lawbreaker, you say, what are you doing here? Oh, I just did, you know, one little item. One little oversight. They broke the law. That's why they're there. Listen, friends, in the sight of God tonight, you're condemned already. You're condemned already. See yourself tonight as God would see you, a sinner condemned in the sight of God. There's one lawgiver. Now if there's a lawgiver, then you would say, he would have power over the law. And if anyone would have the right to judge the law, it would be the one that gives the law. If you're a manager or a proprietor of a business, and you laid out laws for your staff, I suppose you'd be the right one to judge that law and put it in force and so on. And the same, the one lawgiver is God. So God is the only absolute judge of the law. And because that He is the lawgiver, He can change the law if He wishes to. He can change the law if He so desires. You know that the law would dictate that the sun rises day by day and sets night by night without fail. But the lawgiver can change that, and He can cause the sun to stand still. You know that the law dictates that a man dies, he'll not live again. Bury him, put him away. It's all over with. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, Lazarus, come forth. And the law is changed at the word of God. We could go on and on. How that the law said this, but God could say otherwise and make the difference. Now friends, tonight, you have sinned against God, and be sure your sin will find you out. You have sinned against God, and the wages of sin is death. Everlasting punishment is your rightful portion. But God has come in, and He's changed the whole thing. And now we have forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Oh friends, tonight we can be thankful for a God who is the judge of the law. But not only is He the judge of the law, but He's the God of all grace. And God is love. And we see the love of God manifest in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, the one lawgiver, this lawgiver is not someone that's just doing nothing. It's not someone that's not capable of doing something. He's a real person that's able. He's got power. He's got the ability. He's got the might to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him, being He ever liveth to make intercession for them. This one lawgiver is God, and this lawgiver is able to save, and He's able to destroy. In the meeting tonight, what will your ending be? What will your ending be? Now it's not how well you're doing today, and how things have gone so well in the past. Let me ask you, what will the end be? What will the end be? There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. What will your end be? Will it be saved, or will it be destroyed? Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, into everlasting torment, for I never knew you. Now, friends, you don't need to go there. You can be saved. Our God is able to save. And He's willing to save. You could be saved tonight. This lawgiver has power. He is able to save. Able to save. You know, we've lived long enough, and yourself as well, I'm sure, that people don't find it hard to say, I'm a Christian. And there's others nowadays, and they don't find it hard to say, yes, I'm born again. Or, I've experienced a new birth. We find that as we go about, but people are still finding it very difficult to say, I am saved. I wonder tonight, I'm not asking if you're born again. I'm not asking if you've had the new birth, or if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not my question tonight. My question tonight is, are you saved? If you're not saved,
you're lost. My friends, tonight, if you're saved, you have everlasting life. You'll never be in the tavern of the damned and be lost forever. My friends, tonight, you need to be saved. There's no getting around it. You can't plead a good life and good ambitions or anything of the kind, for neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none of the name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. How can a man be saved? He can be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You know what? We never come to God except by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we never get to the Lord Jesus Christ unless we come because we've been convicted of our sin and we desire forgiveness. Therefore, we repent. Did you get that? I have sinned against God. I was convicted of my sin. I knew that Christ died on the cross, but how did he become mine? Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sin may be blotted out. Have you ever done that? Has that ever been your happy experience? You say repentance isn't a happy experience. No, it isn't. It's bitterness. It really is. But then, out from repentance comes life. For there's life in a look at the crucified one. There's life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him that was nailed. Unto him that was nailed to the tree. Friends, tonight, it's repentance towards God, the lawgiver. You transgress God's holy law. Then repentance towards God. And look to the cross tonight. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There is forgiveness. God does save. Both sin and guilt are put away through the blood. God saves on the basis that his Son has died for sin upon the cross. The blood has been shed, and yet it will do you no good until you see your need of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is able to save, for the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Are you saved tonight? The Philippian jailer said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Why didn't Paul mention repentance? Because that man was convicted of his sin. That man was so shaken, he was about to die. And he knew that sin's penalty was death. But Paul and Silas said, "Do thyself no harm. We are all here." They said, "What must we do to be saved?" "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Are you saved in the meeting tonight? Then come tonight as a guilty sinner and ask Christ, "What must I do to be saved?" Oh, friends, tonight all the doing has been done. The law could ask no more. When the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross, he died for my sin, and with a stripe I am healed. He is able. You know what? The lawgiver that's able to save my soul and put away my every sin and give me everlasting life, he is also able to destroy. He is also able to destroy. He is also able to carry out the penalty for a broken law. The penalty of a broken law. The wages of sin is death. Friends, tonight, whether God has that power to bring in everlasting destruction upon your soul, he is able to destroy. Now that destroying there is not annihilation. It doesn't mean ceasing to exist. Why, there's evidence over and over again in the Word of God that everlasting punishment is conscious existence beyond this life in a place of torment where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. where there'll be the gnawing of the tongue, and the fire is not stopped. O friends, tonight, the lawgiver has power, the ability, the way of destroying. I wonder tonight, do you write like that? Listen, friend, the way is to escape for thy life. There is salvation through the Son. He is able to save. What does God say? He saves through the death of His Son upon Golgotha's tree. You see, sin in our life is like a dreadful disease in which there is no cure. What do I do? What would I do? Oh, friends, go back in your Bible and see the children of Israel bitten by the serpent. What could they do? They couldn't do a thing to save themselves. They couldn't find a remedy for their vice. But God provided a remedy, and Moses put up that last serpent. And as many as looked, lived. What else did they do? They didn't have to learn a thing. They didn't have to practice anything. They received forgiveness. They received the remedy the moment they looked to the serpent upon the tree. And you can be forgiven tonight. And every sin will be blotted eternally out if you look to the Savior who died on the tree and see how He suffered for you and me. Look in our soul. This being saved is a snatching away as if someone were drowning. And you snatch them from his death and you set him on his way. And he's safe and secure as ever he ever was. And maybe more so. Actually, this business of being saved is taking a person out of an unhappy situation and bringing him into a very happy situation. Taking him from his trouble, from his sorrow, from his sin, from his pain, from his destruction, and bringing him to God, where there's peace and love and safety and security. Ah, friends, once you get saved, why, you'll love Him just as we do, the one that saves and keeps and satisfies His wonderful love to God. He has power. He is able to destroy. You know, you're not saved in the meeting tonight, you're lost. It's just something like a condition, you do nothing. You just do nothing. You're lost. Born in sin, saved in iniquity, you're lost. Without doing a thing, you're lost. You know what that means? You're in the state of perishing. In the state of perishing. Now when you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. Now I see it. Lost is one thing. I see the perishing. But over in 1 Corinthians 1 and 18, perishing there. Why, it's a choice. A choice. Girl, you may not be saved in the meeting tonight. You're lost. But listen, you have a choice to make. Choose Christ and be saved tonight. But you know, people don't choose Christ every time. Some may choose to perish. Some people are bitten by the serpent. If they refuse to look at the brass serpent, what are they choosing? They're choosing to perish. If now that Christ has been proclaimed in the gospel as dying for sin upon the cross, and you refuse to receive Him or to acknowledge Him, what are you doing? You're choosing to perish. Now that's something you do for yourself. But if you die in that state, then God comes in. The judge of the law, the giver of the law, steps in the judgment day. And He takes the man up on the choice that he's made, and He destroys him. Able to destroy? Yes. In Revelation you'll read about the rich men, the great men, the mighty men, and they try and hide themselves from the eyes of Him with whom they have to do. But none escape the eye of God, and God has power to destroy all that reject his son. Have you received him? There is forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. But to reject him is to leave yourself in the place of perishing and then to be destroyed by God himself. He shall go away into everlasting burning. Oh, friends, in the meeting tonight, our God is a God of love and not willing that any should perish. We know that because he gave his son to die upon Golgotha's tree. Now as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Would you trust him tonight? Would you receive him tonight? I pray, in neglecting so great salvation, you're leaving yourself open to perishing in this life, everlasting destruction in the life to come. May God bless his words.